The music was Blue Star Tranquility. I love that album. The show is Sound Health. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host, and I'm really pleased that you could join us for a bit of conversation about your health and well-being. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be present with us today. Our guest tonight is Dale Pond. He's been saying forever that the mind is a force. Even before the movie The Secret and all those other people come out saying, you can do it and it's all inside and all that. Dale was working with the mind and its energy to prove that the mind is a controllable force. Dale and I had a meeting of the minds about this through the use of in the study of sound. Both of us do sound research and check out what vibrations do to the body. Dale goes deeper and higher and does physics and engineering, and I just kind of skim the surface of a little bit that I know. So we'll be talking to Dale in just a few minutes. I have one announcement that's kind of long. We are doing a survey about back pain. 65% of adult Americans have back pain at some time in their life. And we announced on Thursday's show, The Vocal Profiling Live, that we wanted to give away a little back box. This is a set of frequencies that we know that can help the body reverse its own back pain. And we want to give it away. So to enter your name in our drawing, and this little back box is a $269 value, just send us an email. And lots of you send us emails, and that's great. And you can send it to vocal, V-O-C-A-L, profiling at gmail.com. Or you can fax your entry to 740-698-6116. And we want you to talk a little bit about your back pain, how you would rate it, where you feel it, how long you've had it, how much money you spend on it, if it comes and goes, what pain killers you've used. Mainly we're interested in how much money you spent on it in the last few years. Now, you can just make that up as you go along, or there is a questionnaire that you can download. Go to our NutraSounds, NutraSounds.com, and under the subtitle Media, go down to where it says, where does your, or what does your voice reveal about you? And there's a form there that you can download and just check it off, tick, 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 and send it back to us. It's also posted on bbsradio.com on Station 2 under Thursday night at 6 o'clock Pacific Time under Sherry Edwards Show information. And if you can't remember any of that, just call us at 740-698-9119. We'll fill it out for you on the phone and enter you into the drawing. And if you figure that out mathematically, because it's just eight little ticks, you'd be making about $250 for a couple minutes work if you're the winner. Include your contact information in case you win so we could send you the little back box. I think that's all of that. Yes, just about 90% of back pain. It probably won't, this little back box probably won't work if you've had back surgery, but it does take care of just normal kind of back pain. And it's not a one-time deal either. You can't get the box, get your back gone, and send the box back to us. If you're going to repeat and do what you're doing all along to cause your back pain, it's going to reoccur. So 740-698-9119. I think that's all of it. I've been trying to skip down through that because they gave me this whole great big page of stuff, and I don't want to read all of it. Okay, on with our guest and our very, very important, who's a very, very important person tonight. Dale Pond, are you on there?
Yes, I'm here, Sherry.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice again.
It's good to hear you, too.
You are so multi-talented. I don't know where to start.
Well, we could start at the beginning, but I don't know where that is.
That's good. Thanks for being with us. We have a pretty sophisticated audience here, but none of us are as knowledgeable about sound and vibration as you are. Can you give the audience a real basic foundation of what you do?
I'm researching and reinventing some of the work that John Keeley did from the 1880s, and his work involved sound and vibration. And so in order to be able to replicate some of the phenomena that is attributed to him, we need to know a lot more about the physics of sound and vibration than conventional science currently acknowledges. And so that's what I've been doing. I haven't really been out in the public because I am digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the unknown nature of sound and vibration. And we're starting to have some very encouraging signs here. So I'm very glad that we are making this progress. It's kind of strange that it's taken so long, but apparently there's cycles in the universe that we all live with and have to go along with.
I think
that's what I'm doing, Sherry, is I'm not doing so much the practical side as I'm doing this theoretical investigation into the hidden nature of these things that Keeley obviously knew and he wrote about. And after he died, Walter Russell came along, and he wrote about the exact same thing. He just used different phraseology. So we've got two large pools of knowledge to draw upon to create a synthesis. And you attended some of my lectures years ago, and you can see that some of that stuff is quite useful and practical.
Absolutely, and audience, Dale's being very, what's the word for people who sort of don't tell you all of how grand they are? What's the word for that?
Modest.
Yeah.
Humble.
He's being very, very modest. He does tremendous things. And thanks for taking these little baby steps with us, because I'm lost in some of your stuff. I love reading your books and taking classes, but you are so beyond me. I really, really want to know about what you think the mind is and creation is and how we all got here and on and on and on. Are those questions that you can answer?
You sure you want me to do this?
Well, just the stuff that you say about the mind is a force and we can do whatever we want with it. Where did that energy come from, the mind? Where's that generated from? Where's Atlan's energy generated from? And, I mean, there's just so much going on. And all the stuff you do with Casey and the underlying principles of all oscillation and the creation of everything. And, you know, how to activate mind with matter and all the wonderful stuff that you guys are in. Like, where do you start with that one, huh?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Let me get an insight here and see where we're going, where you would like us to go, see if I can do that.
Well, how long have we known each other?
A long time.
Over 20 years.
That long?
Probably.
Whoa.
Because I was doing appearances where you were appearing also in the 80s.
That's true.
Yeah, that's at least 20 years, and that's when I met Atlan. And...
Well, let's get off of that subject. Let's get on to how about the universe? How we are an integral component of this universe, and we're not, as a lot of people like to say, we're not a virus on this ball of dirt.
I like that. I just think we're carbon-based robots, wholly programmable.
Yeah, right. Well, that, you know, there's lots of definitions. And you get to choose the one you want because that helps you decide the kind of life you want, because your mind, the thoughts you hold about yourself and about your world around you, it creates that. So I think it's A Course in Miracles said that life, the purpose of life, is to prove to you that you're right. So whatever you're thinking about stuff, that's what you're going to see. and you're going to be right. Everybody's going to be right.
What do you think of this new stuff in The Secret, the movie The Secret? Have you watched that?
Yeah, I've watched that. It's pretty good. I could have wrote a lot of that.
Yep, that's what I thought when I was looking at it. Dale Pond's been preaching this and talking about this for 20 years at least. I know. Why do people think this is new?
Yeah, it's not new. It's ancient. I mean, it hasn't been known in the detail that we know now, but it's the high points have been known. The practical use of it's been known. For instance, the Rosicrucian Order in San Jose, they've been teaching this for hundreds of years. And they don't call it all that. I mean, they don't use all the words that we use today, but because we've got so many people developing fields like psychology and all the biological stuff that's going on.
Well, tell me how we got made from vibration and oscillations.
Well, we didn't. We didn't get made. We made ourselves.
Okay.
And I know most of the people out there won't like that statement, but you're either a victim of the universe or we're a participant in it. And I don't like the idea that we're victims. I haven't found any legitimate, reasonable literature that says we're victims. There's a lot of other literature that says that. But, you know, if we're made in the image of some kind of creator, well, the creator's a creator. And so we're in the same image. We're creators. And you can't be a creator if you're a victim.
Yeah, nice.
Proactive, empowered and proactive. And that's what The Secret teaches, is the message from The Secret, that you have this innate power. If you only train yourself, you get the knowledge and you train yourself and you practice, and you can become a creator in your own right. That's what everybody wants.
Do you think that because you taught this for so many years and people caught on little by little, it just went boom with The Secret, and it's like this hundredth monkey where everybody's getting it now?
It's time for mankind to wake up. And when I say wake up, I mean we come into the full realization of our powers, our inherent latent powers that we each individually have. And so it's time for this to happen. And this has been foretold for centuries, that this time would come. And this is the time. So this stuff is just coming out like it's coming out of the woodwork. And you can't say that, you know, somebody plagiarized somebody else. Of course, a lot of that's going on. But a lot of the people walking around today came in to this time period just for this purpose, to bring this knowledge, to bring the message to everybody who's waiting for it. Everybody's begging for this. We're tired of being victims. We're tired of being abused. We want to fulfill our destinies. And the power is there for us to do that.
Well, I don't ever say I'm tired of something. I just say I'm done.
Yeah, well, yeah. Same thing.
What powers do you think that people didn't have before and they do now? Or what powers do you think people have they're not using?
We always had infinite power. We were taught, and this is where it starts getting a little bit complicated. See, we were conditioned through our culture, through our families, our ancestry, our local societies that we grew up in, the local homegrown knowledges. Well, you can't do that, and, you know, this is a small town. You can't expect to do anything of that nature. And these ideas are hereditary. They were passed down from father to son, mother to daughter. And those ideas, what we generally call superstition, or just homelies, you know, the things we live with every day, these keep us conditioned and locked into certain thought patterns. And until we break out of those thought patterns, this is the point that The Secret makes. You have to break those old thought patterns. When you renew your mind, then you become a new person. And if you renew it in the ways that will empower you, well, then you can start unleashing all of these latent powers and skills and talents and abilities that we all have. If we're stuck in a mode and we think we know it all, or we say, well, I'm good enough, or I'm afraid, I'm not going to go out of my little box, well, then nothing happens. It takes courage to wake up.
Yeah, we had a guy on, Dr. Benor, and he said, we're programmed from childhood, and when you think about what we have, this computer brain that we allowed a child to program, you have to move away from those old tapes, and you're saying exactly the same thing.
Right.
Okay, how do we get woken up? I mean, what do we do when we get woke up?
You know, I've been playing with that question for 10 years now, and I've gone through workshops, and I've read books, I've talked to people, I've studied my stuff, and it boils down to, let me back up, it looks like, or it appears to boil down to, whatever method you use and as an individual, and everybody's going to be somewhat different, to teach yourself something new. Now, there's a method out there that I think is really, really good, and I think we can adapt it to this. And that is the Suzuki method of teaching children to play violins. And the method consists primarily of giving the kid, and these kids are like 4 and 5 years old, you give them a violin, and when they're home, there is a constant 24/7 playing of violin music on the radio or the recorder, whatever recording device you got, and the parents are encouraging. So, in other words, if you take, for instance, you listen to Bob Proctor or Brian Tracy or any of those kind of guys who are real professionals, they're really good at what they do, and you can get their CDs and their tapes, play those 24/7, get yourself a CD, battery-powered walk-around CD, and surround yourself with people as much as you can who have the same idea, which is to wake up. And that will create a resonance of thought and encouragement, and over a period of time, some people will be quicker, some people will take longer, but it will transform your thought patterns.
Just put yourself in a creative environment?
No, put yourself in a high-pressure situation where you overload yourself with this positive mental stuff.
Like crash and reboot kind of stuff?
Well, Brian Tracy, Bob Proctor. Proctor was on that movie.
Well, you said overload yourself until you just get it, kind of crash and reboot, you know?
Well, yeah, that's kind of thing. See, the military knows how to do this. They take these kids into boot camp, 6 weeks, nonstop, night and day. And it transforms their personality. They know how to do this because they have to do that or they wouldn't have an army. Some of the older religious organizations understand some of those techniques, too. So they take these kids in, and they become priests or monks or whatever they're doing. So we can take those similar techniques and use them for transforming ourselves into whatever we want to be. I have learned over the years, you know, I have done a lot of things in my life, and sometimes I'll find myself in a new job situation that I don't know anything about what they hired me to do. And it was usually very physical and very demanding and very complicated, but you jump in with both feet and you apply yourself as hard as you can. And it always takes about a month. That's the way I figured it. In 30 days, I master that job, no matter what. So we can apply that same principle to, you want to wake up, you want to learn music, you want to be a certain type of therapist, just jump in and devote yourself 100% to that, and you will have it. Within 30 days, you will have it.
Is this something you teach in your classes?
No, I talk about it. I haven't thought about teaching it because I didn't have the confidence that I could just take anybody who walks in and writes a check. I could teach them how to do that. But I think that they can be. If they're sincere, they can learn. And
so you give them the tools to go do it?
Tools, the direction, the discipline, the stick-to-itness. Most people want to quit, you know. They don't want to put forth any effort. Well, you got to put forth some effort because you got this inertia built up. You got this way of living built up, which is an effect of your thinking. So it's a thinking you got to overcome. And you can do it over a long period of time, but you can get into a high-intensive situation and override that old programming with new programming.
Is this something people could do with, like, meditation or hypnosis or some kind of planned program? Or you think people should do it on their own?
They can. It's rare that a person would have that kind of discipline and stick-to-itiveness to do that. For instance, Walter Russell had that. He could teach himself to be a world-class sculptor or world-class painter or world-class architect.
Skater.
And he's a school dropout. So,
he was also an Olympic skater, wasn't he?
Yeah, he brought ice skating to this country, figure skating to this country. So I would say that, some people like ourselves, we could convene a class of people. They would have to be really screened. You'd have to have the right people. And you would put them through a period of time. This is a very intensive, what's called a workshop, because that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be tough, and it's going to be intensive, and there's going to be graded egos. But the purpose is not to get all upset and everything. The purpose is to transform thought patterns. And that can be done in a situation like that. That could be set up. We could do that.
And to let go of a lot of things that you thought held you safe. That's what I find with people. They are, all these old things, they just feel like that's their safety net, and they're not easy. It's not easy to let them go. Well, if you don't teach this in your class, but you're willing to, what do you teach in your classes?
I'm not doing any classes right now.
I didn't know that.
I was doing a lot of teaching up until the time I bought this property, and then this property just basically overwhelmed me in every single. Every single way you can think of. And I've kind of got it together now, and I'm starting to think about what can I do in terms of teaching and classes, and we've got the facility now. We just need to get the people in here.
I think people would love to know how to do this. And if you've got room for our classes, I'll be there in a second. You know I will.
Yeah.
Talk about your books and your newsletters and your... Do you still do that now?
No, we did two different newsletters. One, they were both monthly, one for 5 years and one for 2 years. And those are still available through my online catalog. I've written a number of books. There's four of them have been published by outside publishers. The rest I've been publishing. You can see those on my on-site online bookstore.
You want to give people that address?
SVP, S is in Sam, V is in Victor, P is in Paul, V is in Victor, RIL.com. Sounds complicated, but type in Dale Pond in Google and you'll come right up. It'll be the top thing.
And it's just pond like an old farm pond.
Yeah, old farm pond.
Okay. You've written several books on sympathetic vibrational physics that are exquisitely graceful. So people, go to his website and look at this. I want to talk to you a bit of this little change of subject here in light of what's happening politically. You've written a history of the American Constitution or common law. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you perceive how that fits in to what's going on now in the politics of our country?
Yeah. First off, I didn't really write that book. I was mostly the editor of it. There were some parts in it that I wrote, but primarily I was pulling material together from other sources. The main focus of that book is an article that was originally written by a super patriot who's passed away, and he spent years researching what the heck is wrong with our country. You know, you go down the road and somebody stops you and puts a gun in your face and takes your money, and that's just the good part. And he was wondering, well, what the heck is going on? And he spent years researching. He went all the way to England to dig into the history, because that's our political history comes out of England. And the little article that he started out with eventually became a court brief. It was served somewhere in the state of Iowa, and I got a hold of this thing, and I couldn't believe what it said. It just woke me up to my core. And it talks about the difference between common law and statutory law and admiralty law and equity law, all these different kinds of laws that we have in this country. And the common law is the law of the people. And it is a real law. They got books, they got classes, they've got history. Every district court in this country, if you will read your state constitution, and I haven't read them all, but the ones I have read says that the district courts shall be courts of law and equity. And when they say law and equity, they mean common law and equity law. Equity law is law about contracts. Common law is all about property. Most people don't understand what property is because we've been brainwashed not to know what property is. Because the most important property to you or everybody else is your rights. Your rights are your property. They aren't given to you by the government. They're not given to you in the statutory law books. They're given to you because you are a human being. And they want to get rid of the property, you know, property. They want to get rid of property. That's the modus operandi of communism, that nobody owns anything, nobody has any property, therefore nobody has any rights. So all you got over in the communist situation is serfs and slaves. Well, guess what? That's what we got in this country because nobody owns anything. What you have, all the stuff that you have, you don't really own it. You just own the use of it. And then there's the law of uses and all that kind of stuff. It's really complicated. But it all boils down to the very essence is this. All the laws that you most people are concerned with in this country are statutory laws. Statutory laws are laws passed by corporate entities. Our states are corporations, our local community governments are corporations, they're all corporate, everything's corporate. So when they issue an edict, which they call a law, which it isn't really a law, it's just a statute, you know, we're all governed by that now. We allow ourselves to be governed by that now. And that has, like, pulled a blanket over the common law. The statutory law gives the corporations all the power and takes it away from us. Whereas the common law is exactly reversed. It gives the power to us, takes it away from them.
It's the way it ought to be.
It's the way it ought to be, but people don't know that. The only thing they know about common law is nothing, and they think, well, common law marriage is two people shacked up. Well, guess what? That's not right either. Common law marriage is when a man and a woman says, I thee wed. It's a contract. It's an agreement. You're making this agreement. And you don't need no judge or preacher to tell you that that's what's going on. But that's just a sanctification, or, you know, a lot of people like that. But the issue is it's an agreement between two people. In common law, that's what it is. In statutory law, civil marriages, guess what kind of marriage you got then? The government's a third party. They create the contract. They're a party to it. So when you got a problem, they take the kids, they take your house, they take your money, they'll throw you in jail. And this is not me saying that. There's a lot of people researching all this stuff, and it's on the web. Just start doing your Googling. You can find that stuff out.
Is there any of it on your site?
Quite a bit of that's on my site. My website is primarily two topics. The one umbrella topic is liberty, and then that's broken into two fields. One is the common law, or who we are in society, within society, being regulated by rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff. And the other one is liberating ourselves with our minds and our spirits. And then, of course, the physics is... Believe it or not, it all ties together with this physics, but it's complicated.
What do you have any thoughts on the elections coming up?
Oh, yeah. I haven't been so excited about... I've never been this excited about politics. I've stayed out of it, stayed away from it. but I kept finding myself getting drugged back into it from time to time. But we have something different happening. This guy, Ron Paul from Texas.
Yay!
Been in Congress for 10 terms. He's got the greatest voting record anybody's ever been there, except maybe Jefferson himself. And this guy, for some reason, was exciting everybody. Everybody hears this man talk and they get all excited. And I think it's because Ron Paul is speaking from the heart.
Yes.
And he's speaking sincerely, and he's not full of crap and bullshit that everybody else has got. If you watch the other guys, if you just watch him, and then you watch the other guys, you'll see who's genuine and who's fake.
And we did vocal profiles across all of his issues that he's come out in support of. He's the only human on the planet I've ever seen that's consistent on every topic. Yeah, I couldn't believe this. I didn't know about Ron Paul till they asked us to analyze his voice. It's an incredible, incredible human being.
He is. Just look at what he's doing. He's uniting this entire country. We have been fragmented and torn apart for decades and decades, and here this man, very gentle man, is just pulling the whole country back together in love and excitement and purpose, and are motivated. And you look at that and you say, this guy has got to be, well, I don't know who your audience is, but and I'm not religious, but this man must be divine to have this kind of influence over people.
Yes, they're all Ron Paul lovers.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say they all are, but I would bet the majority of them love him and have all contributed to his campaign. He's up to nearly 11 million. And I just find that phenomenal that he doesn't have the support of all of these big companies and stuff that are so bent on taking away our freedoms. It's the people that finally woke up and they're coming out and they're saying, we want our liberty back. And we've been preaching that for years, you know, being complacent and you're not going to get anywhere and they're taking your freedoms away. You better wake up. And they just sort of plod all along. But this guy, he's like you said, he's bringing us all together because we know at our core that's what we want. We want our freedom. We want justice. We want liberty. And that's certainly not what we have. And I am so happy people are saying, I've had enough.
Yeah, you know, this has been a long time coming. I remember in the early 60s, my dad was campaigning for Goldwater. And a lot of the stuff that Ron Paul's talking about, you know, could be attributed to Goldwater. It's the same theme, you know. We've got this integrity as humans. And then we got this system that's totally insanity. I mean, it's complete insanity when you listen to him talk. Who would advocate murdering another 700,000 Iraqis who didn't do nothing else? I mean, if that's not the definition of insanity, I don't know what it is.
And since, have we ever had a president that's a known felon, or a vice president, I should say this, that's a known felon? I mean, Cheney lied to Congress. He lied under oath. He got 3 years in jail. Bush pardoned him, and he's still the vice president. Why?
Well,
that's just incredible. It's hard to believe. Have you been following this stuff up in New Jersey where they're putting parents in jail because they won't vaccinate, they won't inject their poison into their children?
Well, that's why people are starting to rally around Ron Paul, because before we've been separated and divided and conquered. We've been conquered. And we've become powerless in front of these bureaucrats and everything, and they can kick your door in with guns. And so we've got this feeling that we're victims and we're powerless, and along comes this wave of awareness that's embodied in the secret. Says, no, you're not hopeless. You're not helpless. You've got all this power. You can stand tall. And people are starting to stand tall, whether they saw the movie or not, because this is a time when this is going to happen. And we can say no to that stuff. And we are starting to say no to that stuff. And if any of your listeners are not active members in a local meetup group, then I suggest very strongly to get involved. If there's no meetup group in your area, start one.
Go to Ron Paul, RONPAUL 2008.com, and they'll get you in contact with the other people in your community.
Well, yeah, you can go there, but there's a button or a banner there that says meetup.com.
Mm-hmm.
You go to meetup.com, and you type in your city or zip or whatever it is, and it'll show you instantly how many people are in your location. And if there is or isn't a meetup already going on, and if there isn't, start one.
You seem to know a lot about this. Are they taking precautions? Like, last election, Bush won our district, overwhelming, our little teeny district, and I couldn't find one person who really voted for it.
Well, you're in Ohio, and Ohio is where ground zero for vote fraud. You must know about Bev Harris.
I don't. Tell me.
Do a Google on Bev Harris. In fact, I'll send you the link here when we get done with this interview. I'll have to dig it out somewhere. She made a video, online video. I think it's an hour and a half. That absolutely destroyed me when I saw it. She went out, just little old lady, she went out and said, what's wrong with this vote system? And she went all over the country to track down what the heck's going on, and she uncovered such a monstrous fraud that the movie made me sick and made me cry at the same time. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that this is going on in our country. And
so they're nothing but a bunch of thieves?
Oh, it's way beyond being a thief. I think she's from your area, or there's another lady from your area, probably down the street from me someplace, that's in this film. It's very well done. And I'm surprised that you don't know about this, because Ohio is where it really got to be real nasty, and they're still fighting it out.
Well, we're just looking around saying, my God, what can we do about it? You know, I want my vote to count, and I don't want it to go into some automatic count kind of crap.
Well, here's what you do. Here's what you start your meetup group or get involved in one, and you build rapport, you start having fun, and you start looking to the local political structure. That's what we're doing. We started a meetup here, and we've got some members, and we didn't know what to do, so we kept working at it, and we're finally making contact with the local GOP organization, because Ron Paul's in the GOP. It happens that this local GOP organization is basically non-existent. They got one, and people have titles and whatnot, but they don't do anything. It's kind of just sitting here.
And so
maybe if we get enough of these new people involved, we can bring in this new energy and re-energize and revitalize and transform this whole thing. But we can only do it from within that system.
And if we all think about it and know that we can do it, it'll happen.
Right. And that's what's happening. These people are being motivated all over this country by the tens of thousands, and they're all learning about the local politics. I didn't know anything about the political structure. I didn't know what a caucus was. In fact, I didn't even know what meetup was until I got involved in this.
Well, he's getting a lot more attention now, but still not what he deserves.
He's going to get a lot more attention because he's got 84,000 volunteers out there making it happen. In small-town America, like where I'm living and where you are, and we're just getting started.
as much as we've done in the school here and all that, I've got this big thing up on my wall. I was watching Ron Paul and the money come in on the day that we were trying to get all this, they wanted $1 million we sent for kind of thing. And there flipped my name up as a contributor, and I went, oh, Control-Alt, print screen. And I blew that up in color, and I got it on my wall. And it shows I made a difference. I'm part of bringing back America to what we really have this illusion that it is, and it's certainly not free today.
Yeah.
Can you tell
true.
I'm on my soapbox?
Hey, that's, we have to start standing tall. We have to start speaking up. We got to stop being mouse and sheep. And just, we got to start being Americans. What's being American? It's not about being a Republican or a Democrat. It's about being an American.
And what America represents originally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're going to have a tea party, too. Do you know about that?
Yeah, on the 16th.
Yeah, you talk about that for the audience.
The guy who organized the Guy Fawkes Day, which was November 5th, fundraising, which raised $4.3 million in 24 hours, he set up another goal, another project, that'll do another fundraising on December 16th, which is the 234th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party. And the goal is to raise $10 million.
Well, anybody remember the Boston Tea Party was about no taxation without representation, wasn't it?
Yeah, the British started taxing everything, and they put this huge tax on that particular, those loads of tea that just came in, and the Patriots said, no, we're not going to do that. And they went out and threw all the tea in the water.
Well, this country was based on patriots, and we can do it again.
Yeah, we can do more than that, because more of us, we're better connected, we're more aware, you know, I mean, we've got all this history at our fingertips on the Internet, we can learn anything.
Yeah, I love the Internet. To me, it represents freedom. But there's a lot more things I want to talk about. As excited as we are about this one, I want to talk about another one of your books, totally on the other side, called The Physics of Love.
Oh, yeah.
How can there be a physics of love?
Well, you know, think about it. You can feel love, right?
Yes.
Okay. You can feel in different interactions with different people. You can feel different energy states between people. You can feel, oh, this person's wide open with love, and this other person just a little bit friendly. This other person is shut off, you know, and you can't get near them. You can feel this. There's an energy state that you perceive that you react to, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there's an energy that's causing this field, and it's tied in directly with the mind. In fact, it's all mind, just operating in different
We can look
manners.
At the chemicals of it.
Well, it's not chemicals, but...
Well, dopamine, when somebody's feeling very, very loving, dopamine goes high. And surprisingly, histamine, but that's not in the literature.
Yeah, well, see, that's a Newtonian view that dopamine releases and then the person feels good. But I maintain that the person holds a good thought, it may be just for a microsecond. But that releases the dopamine.
Well, I believe it happens that way. It's just this is a way we can quantify that a bit.
Right.
So
yeah, we can use it
believe.
As tracers. You know, it's like, you know, a track, you know, tracking something. So it's a feedback mechanism. That's what our bodies are for anyway, the feedback to us how we're thinking.
And this is also for sale under your catalog, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
you have tapes, too?
See, that's what sympathetic vibratory physics is. It's the physics of love, because sympathy means being as one. And any two human beings acting as one, I mean, that's in love. Well, any two vibrating objects separated by a distance that are vibrating together, which is called sympathetic vibration, is love. That's what it is. And it operates throughout the universe. So I used to lecture about these origins of why this all takes place back in the early 90s. And my lectures have grown so long and complicated that people can't really sit to them, so I quit doing that. But in a nutshell, if we take a molecule, which is what the phone is made of that I'm holding, or your microphone or whatever you're holding over there, these are made of molecules. Molecules are made of a smaller items called atoms. Atoms are made of smaller particles called electrons and protons and neutrons, and these are made of smaller particles yet. and this is standard physics. There's nothing strange about what I'm saying right now. You can continue to divide these particles into smaller and smaller and smaller particles. We don't know that there's a limit to the division that can happen. But somewhere in that path, somewhere down the road, when it's super, super, super divided, that's what you could call a mind particle or a particle of mind force. So turn all of that around, and we can see now that every molecule and every atom is made of mind. Because there's nothing else there.
Wow.
It's just bigger pieces, see? Slower and slower frequency. The bigger it gets, the slower the frequency.
Do you have any of your lectures on video that can be made available to people?
Yeah, actually, there's a video of mine on Google. If you go to Google and type in my name, it'll come up in two sections. Or it's a three-hour video, but it's in two pieces, hour and a half. That's the video I made in 94 that talks about just what I'm saying right now. And people love that. I didn't put it up there. I don't know who put it up there. But it's getting a lot of hits, and I'm getting a lot of inquiries from that. And in our catalog, we have two DVDs. One was made at the Science Conference of Science and Consciousness. And I think it's called Engineering with Mind, Engineering with Mind. And the other one is called Keeley's Legacies. And these two form a pair, even though they were given at a time, you know, they were separated by time, they are sequential to each other. Because I really don't like repeating myself. So you get those two DVDs and watch the one on Google for nothing, and you will be amazed. You will be astounded at what's in there. I'm tracing the physics of how mind, how thought, how thinking creates your daily experience. And I don't mean just saying, well, you think this and you get that. I mean, I want to know the physics of how it does it. And we're doing it.
We have a lot of your books in our library. We don't have those, too, and I'll make sure we get them. We have a question from the audience, and I haven't even given out that address yet. I didn't even get to that part of... I didn't get that far down the list here. But the question is from somebody named Heath, and he says, how can you explain someone moving mass with their mind? Sounds like a Uri Geller trick. Is that something you could answer?
Well, first off, it's a loaded question. I really dislike loaded questions.
Why?
What Uri Geller does is a trick. Is it a trick? They tested him over at Stanford University. And they said it wasn't a trick, it was real. So I don't know where these people are getting this stuff. Have you ever heard of the PEAR Project?
No.
I am answering his question. I'm going to go around.
Well, I apologize for reading it the way he wrote it. I didn't mean to have a loaded question here.
Okay.
I've never heard of the PEAR Project.
The PEAR Project, as soon as I can get my hands on a DVD here, cost me $60. Called the PEAR Proposition. And PEAR is an acronym for Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research. Princeton as in Princeton University. Engineering Department. Now these are not nuts or kooks or crazy people. These guys spent 30 years investigating the power of mind over matter. And do you know what they came up with after 30 years of engineering research?
Tell me.
Yes. Mind does have an effect over matter. It's not much, but it is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, proven to be a fact.
So that's how remote reviewing and all that's happening?
Well, that has a bearing on it, but they're two different phenomena. You know, one is mind manipulating physical matter, like moving a mass, as in the question asked. And remote viewing is different in that remote viewing is mostly sympathetic association, which is pretty much the same thing that takes place in mind over matter. because that's all we're really working with, because it's all love universe, sympathetic vibration. There is no other phenomena going on.
I found something on your internet site that I didn't know was going on. It's something called Hypervibes, a computerized interactive knowledge base containing 14,000 records of information. So is this for sale? Is it just something people can read?
Well, it is for sale, but it's in the old Apple Macintosh format. And unless you got an old Macintosh, it's not going to run.
Okay.
And so we're in the process, and it's going to take a long time to do this, to convert it over to a new program format that, so it runs in the modern platforms. And, in fact, it'll run in all the platforms, not just Macintosh. But
what?
Because of the size of that database, it's a massive, massive, massive database.
We've run out of time. I can't believe it. I wanted to ask you about your research with Casey. I wanted to ask you about the astrology thing that you did for me with all the frequencies on it. Are you willing to come back? Because I want to ask about the quantization to one. There's just so many things I didn't even get to because we just got empowered by the long-haul stuff.
Let's do this again. You write down some notes of what we want to talk about, and we'll stick to an agenda.
All right. I want to know about people moving stuff with their mind and what you've witnessed. I know
okay. There's
a lot of that, too.
All right. We can do that.
Thank you for being with us. Oh, I've got another question coming in. Do you have a definition of God? We'll talk about that. that's a good one. We'll talk about that next time.
All right. We'll do that. Yes, I do have a definition. We can talk about that next time.
Okay, deal. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. We'll have you back. And for you guys, as always, the time goes too quick. And we'll see you next week. Mm-hmm.